This is Paul Derriaz, everybody. He is a great man. Those who have been around the block, they will know that he's a great man. He's a man of grace. He's a man of integrity.
Thank you, Dave.
He's a good guy. And this is our last interview as part of the God at Work series. But actually, I think they've gone down so well that we want to continue to do interviews throughout the year, because it's just so great to hear from everyone. If you'd like to do an interview and you feel like you've got a lot of kind of advice and experience bubbling up within you that you're urging to you can share in 10 minutes in interview format, then come and speak to me, and you know, we'd love to hear from you. So, Paul Derriaz, how long have you been part of the congregation?
Actually, it's trying to work out your maths, isn't it? Because I think it's about 17 or 18. So, what's that? 40 years. I can't believe it.
40 years? Yeah. I didn't know River Church was that old.
I just do remember coming back from college. I think it was the first year. And suddenly the guys that were back home said, we're not where we were.
Right.
That's another story.
Yeah. So, what do you do?
What do I do? I have a commercial estate agency in Marlow and in a virtual office in High Wycombe, and we sell, let any form of commercial building. So you've probably, hopefully, seen my green and orange boards scattered around in Marlow and the Thames Valley. And so that's sort of offices, shops and factories. And yeah, I deal with, you know, small companies, large companies, you know, some big names, Hitachi and ICM Computers and things. And I've also had the privilege of helping some of the guys here in this room find, you know, other premises for their businesses. It's great to see Lydia, and I've helped Jonathan and Lydia with their offices, and Alan Sarney and Pete and Andrew and Kathy Stewart, wherever she is, and there's loads of others over the years. So that's a real privilege to, you know, to use some of my skills to help with their business as well.
Fantastic. Could you tell us a little bit about how you ended up doing this?
How it all started. Yeah. I can't believe it now, because when I tell you it's 1985, all right, and was that before you were born?
That was the year I was born.
So in 1985, a good friend of mine, Paul Mitson, and I decided to set up an agency, as I say, in Marlow. And here we are. I said to Dave, look, you're allowed to put that photo up as long as people don't laugh, all right? It's the John Major sort of number two, yeah? For those who are sort of, do you remember John Major? I think I was 28 waist and not much more on the chest, but I could run a bit quicker then. Yeah, so that photo was really when the Maidenhead advertiser just interviewed us right at the very beginning. And, you know, they were saying, you know, what do you want to do? And we explained that we wanted to sort of set up a business and for it to be obviously based off, you know, Christian values. And I had to be really careful that I didn't sort of say that we were going to be, you know, high and mighty, or, you know, that the rest of the estate agency business is absolutely corrupt and all the rest. That's rather setting yourself up. But what I did say is that, there's a little paragraph at the end, which I'm just going to sort of read, but it says, but with commercial property, adds Derriaz, in any area where you've got the client relationship, if you have an integrity and you're professional about it, people will come back to you. If you're dishonest, you make a quick buck, but no one will come back. We aim to be in business for decades rather than months. And so here I am, a couple of years' time, it'll be 30 years. So I think that counts as decades, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah? Awesome. So I'd like to sort of feel that I've still kept to the same values that I set out at that time. And obviously, as you discover, there's a few ups and downs. Yeah. But that's business life and life journeying with God.
Yeah. Mm. That's fantastic. So I think it's it's quite inspiring to see you doing that. I didn't know about that, and to kind of start a business kind of overtly on kind of Christian values and all that kind of stuff is really amazing. But tell us a little bit about the journey. You know, what happened next?
Yeah, they were good years, and it was good fun sort of setting up the business, and we worked well. We worked well together. And we sort of moved from a little sort of pokey little office sort of where Simply Food are, you know, opposite an abattoir, and we moved around the corner to Station Road and to where I am now. And that was in 1993. And we just recently renewed the carpets. That's after 19 years. Some people... That's credit to Nigel on that, getting our carpets changed. I can't believe it. 19 years. Anyhow, let's not go there. So, no, they were fun years sort of building up a business and so on like that. But, you know, there are some changes which you plan, and then there's some changes which are forced upon you. And in sort of just the beginning of 95, I do remember Sarah and our two children, Sophie and Joshua, and I walking around Marlow, prayer walking on a New Year's Day. And we needed, you know, some change and breakthrough. And the very next day, I walked into the office and saw a business plan off on the fax machine, a business plan with one of our key clients. And it was all setting out sort of plans for the future, of which I wasn't part of. And that obviously was quite a shock, you know, to find that, you know, there was a plan about to sort of come through, which effectively would take all my staff and leave me effectively on my tod. And, you know, one has to sort of deal with all of that, that sort of disappointment. And you also have to focus on, you know, what can we do? What can I do? And I have to give credit to Sarah right at that point. She said, right, I'm coming into the office and I'm going to support you. And, you know, we're going to sort of rebuild the business. And I sought some wise friends out, and I'm always thankful for Jeff, you know, really helping me look at the figures and trying to sort of, you know, work out, you know, what we can do. And it's in those times that I really had to sort of dig into God. And I don't want to be trite when I say that, you know, when you've been in a partnership and then you find yourself on your own, I had to sort of really think of God as my senior partner, or the Holy Spirit as my senior partner. And, you know, and sort of really sort of lean into God and really believe that, you know, there was a future. And, you know, obviously I had a young family at the time, so there was a lot of challenges. And, yeah, we dug in and sort of rebuilt the business. And, you know, I'll be honest, there are times when you're doing that where, you know, where other people seem to be flourishing, and my former partner was doing extremely well, where you've got to not be distracted by that and keep to, you know, the task that you have in hand, and, you know, believe God in that. And if I can give a little picture, you know, you've got the sort of picture of Abraham and Lot, who separated, and Lot chose the sort of the valley floor, where there was plenty of water and springs and wells, and Abraham sort of chose the hill country. Well, Lot chose the valley, so Abraham had the, you know, the hill country, and for that, you know, Abraham had to constantly keep on the move. He had to keep going, finding new wells and water sources for his sheep. But the thing, as we built up the business again, you find that, yeah, there is enough room. God is big, and there's enough room for, you know, both of us and other competitors and so on as well. And that, you know, God is faithful. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that took us to around 2000, and that was a really good year. And at that point, I was just wishing to sort of merge with my arch rival. And that's quite interesting, actually, sort of, you know, the person that I considered to be my sort of major competitor and my enemy that I'd now started sort of talking to him about us merging, and we're just deciding to do that in the year sort of 2000-2001. And then again, as many of you know, and Chris Lenton was helping me think that through, and that was great. But, you know, then suddenly another change happened, which was, you know, totally unplanned and devastating, and that's obviously my son becoming ill and then just dying in 21 days. And at that point, I had to choose whether we continued with the merger or not, and I felt it was the right thing to do, so we kept going. But I have to say, I would not have been able to do that were it not for a fantastic team around me. And I had Glynis and Ivona and John Swan, and John was amazing. He really was. He, you know what John's like? Understated, gets on with it. Mm. And he helped us merge with all the work that involved. Mm. And keep being a faithful worker with me for 9 years. So, thank you, John.
So, I mean, that's kind of to around the year 2000. Yep. We're now in 2013, and yep. You've obviously been journeying.
Yep.
It'd be really good to kind of know, you know, we've had the recession and things like that.
Yep.
How do you handle stress? Because there's obviously been some really stressful times.
Yep. I guess. Yes, I guess sort of bringing up in a more sort of recent past, you know, there's sort of getting up to 09 and you know, John Richard's been particularly helpful in sort of helping me work through some changes to the business and so on. In terms of how do I deal with stress, you know, I sort of enjoy running. Unfortunately, now my knees aren't quite what they used to be, so I enjoy sort of cycling and trying to hit a few golf balls now.
Yeah.
So that's just takes you out of, you know, the cerebral stuff. I enjoy music, and one of my disappointments is I just don't play the violin enough. But you know, I enjoy just playing that to some worship, and that's good. And I enjoy just, you know, taking some time out. That's the challenging bit, is how to sort of have unstructured time. Mm. That's not sort of, you know, when you bring up, most of you guys know, you know, when you're running a business and bring up family, every sort of bit of your day is sort of allocated in some way, and to have some sort of time out, that's a challenge. Mm. But yeah, I'm always enjoying or seeking, you know, to try and work out some of the things which are said from the front that people talk about, you know, in terms of, I remember Andy Reid, for example, just talking about Wells, and, you know, I'm often thinking about, you know, how does that work out in my life, you know, teaching about Wells and clearing out the rubbish. The bricks and dust that gets into a well, you know, how do you do that? What does that mean? What does that look like, both in my life and you know, for us as a church? Yeah.
Brilliant. So what's next?
Well, you know, I alluded in 2009, you know, I needed to make some changes in the biz. And it's funny how sometimes, you know, you just go, oh, it gets so sort of that you've got to make some more serious changes. And dear Alison Hopp said, right, you need to go on a Cranfield course. And Sandra and I went on that. And I found that equally inspiring and challenging. And out of that came a sort of plan. And that's part of my sort of future. You know, there's some guys that I've actually sought out, you know, to get their wisdom, many of the people in the room, including Al and Paul Turnbull and so on. In this particular case, a wise man came and approached me, and that was Nigel. And I'm grateful for Nigel being, you know, part of my next phase. And if you look at in terms of a mile race. You know, I love running. You know, the first lap is, you know, you're getting into the race. And I liken that to that 10 years with Paul Mitzen. And the second and third laps are important laps because, you know, they set the base for the final lap. And so I'm now sort of entering on the final lap, and it's how do I finish? I want to finish well. Mm. And we're just sort of working through what that actually means, what the shape of that is. And I just love all those running analogies because, you know, Paul says, you know, I press on to win the race. And, you know, how does he do that? He sort of forgets what's behind but keeps pressing forward. And I was also thinking, you know, in terms of, you know, at the end of, in Israel, they had, came into the promised land. There were loads of towns and cities which they'd conquered. And you can read them all. And then it says this quite sobering sentence. It says, and there was still much land to conquer. And I sort of sense that both in terms of my business, which is obviously very territorial, very, you know, estate, but also in terms of us as a community, you know, that we've taken land, we've taken places. We're different now in terms of our influence and profile and presence than we were 10 years, 20 years or whatever. But there's still much land to be taken. There's still, you know, areas, parts of the culture that we need to still sort of influence and so on. The future. I'm excited about the future. Sarah and I are sort of trying to work that through, what that looks like. You know, besides just business, we're in a sort of interesting scenario of Sophie just having left home, or about to leave home, really, and what that looks like in terms of finishing well in other aspects of our life other than just business. And I'm challenged just by the idea of longevity and, you know, how do you finish well in your own life? And I'm sort of slightly addressing to guys and ladies who are sort of similar age to me, you know, what does sort of finishing well in our life look like, you know, for the next decades ahead, you know, because life has sort of seasons, doesn't it? And spring, summer, maybe we're moving on to autumn, which is, but you know, just the last thing, I just thought, you know, we talk about overcoming. I remember as a teenager sort of thinking, hey, an overcomer, particularly those guys in Revelation, amazing. They overcame. And those staggering guys in who were mates of David, King David, who slaughtered 30 people. You know, they picked up a jawbone and sort of smashed, you know, 120 people. It's just brilliant stories. You think, whoa, that's great. And it's not until when you're actually in a situation like I've been that you realise what overcoming actually means. Overcoming means to actually overcome something, isn't it? And I'm thankful, grateful, you know, that God has helped me sort of be resilient and keep working. You know, as I've been, in the business, God's been sort of working on me. Mm. And changing my character and strengthening me. And, yeah, I think he's been an absolute father. And I would also say that, you know, I would not be where I am not for my best armour bearer, Sarah Derias.
Yeah.
For me, like the two main kind of inspirational points which came out of that was at the end, you're talking about overcoming and finishing well. And I'd really love it if you could just pray for us as a congregation, that you'd help us to be overcomers and good finishers. Mm-hmm. We're all obviously at different stages in that, but I just think it's something that would be great if you could pray.
Father, we just thank you for the absolute privilege of running the race with you, that we are co-workers with you. that your Holy Spirit is a constant presence, and we can choose to engage with you or we can leave you on the side. But I just want to pray for all my friends here today, that whatever stage of life we're at, whether we're young or a little bit older, that we would key into you and find your beauty, your strength, your presence in every aspect of our life, be it in business or whether it's in other areas of serving. And I pray, Father, that you would help us to talk this out amongst us, ourselves as a community, that what does finishing the race look like? How can we carry your presence into every area in Marlow and the community here, that we would really, really be salt and light, that we would really, really reflect you in a brighter and brighter way. And Father, I just thank you that we can just learn from each other so much. But overall, I just thank you for your amazing, amazing presence with us. It is extraordinary, extraordinary that you choose to work with sort of mortal guys like us. And that is an extraordinary miracle. So, Father, I just thank you. I just pray blessing, heaps of blessing on all my friends here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I'd like to pray for you.
Okay.
Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you for my friend. I want to thank you that he's an inspiration. I want to thank you that he's a father to this congregation. And we just pray your blessing on him at this time, and him and Sarah and the business. We just want to pray into some of the things which are brewing in his heart about finishing well. And Father, I just ask that you just, you presence yourself with him in just a more tangible way than ever before, Lord, that he'll know your direction, he'll know your presence, that he will just know your wisdom at this time, Lord. Just bless him. Thank you for him. Amen.
Amen.
Paul, when you said about seasons, spring, summer, autumn, the moment you said autumn in my head was, and that's when you get the harvest. And the more I thought about it, and I know it's very cultural, it isn't necessarily the same all over the world, but the kind of things that you harvest in the autumn are the things that you keep all the way through the winter because they last. And I that's just what I'm feeling, that that's what God is saying to you, that this is a time of autumn, and although in the summer we harvest crops, they're often things that you just harvest and eat and they're gone. But the kind of things that you harvest in the autumn are the things that you put away for the whole winter, and they last and they feed you on and on and on and on.